warning. The Catholic Man Show contains high levels of manliness. If you think you may be too weak to withstand the manliness represented in the following program, please do yourself a favor and stop listening now. If you choose to continue in spite of this warning, if at any time you feel yourself overcome by the manliness, stop immediately and consult your closest medical professional. And now, for the not so fair, faint, or frilly, we present The Catholic Man Show.
Right. And welcome to the Catholic Man Show. I am Adam Minahan, sitting here with David Niles. We are on the Lord's team, the winning side, so raise your glass. And welcome to the Catholic Man Show. This is the, I think we're approaching 40. This isn't the 40th episode, but we're getting closer.
I've lost count. I mean, I'd have to go back.
Yeah, I think
so
it's
I have no idea.
35, 36.
Okay,
so
I believe you.
We're getting close to the year here in about 3 months. Actually, when my daughter is going to be born, or planned on being born, will be probably like right at the year anniversary of the Catholic Man Show.
Wow.
How cool is that? I just made that connection.
Don't miss out on the...
On the year?
Yeah. Don't make me go solo. Just like I did when my daughter was born.
Yeah, exactly. Luckily, I had Michael Miley here with
me. Yeah, I know. I've thought about that. Like, well, it's a good thing...
He was
Miley
here.
Was in town, yeah.
Yeah. But welcome. If this is your first time listening to the Catholic Man Show, welcome. We just gave you the warning.
Welcome.
So I just want to make sure that, you know, you're prepared for the high levels of manliness that we're about to throw out there.
Yeah, because we got an awesome one-star review recently. Clearly, this person missed the warning.
Yeah, so we just want to make sure that that's clear, that's taken care of.
We are dealing with toxic levels of manliness here
right.
on the Catholic Man Show.
Go over to our Facebook page and let us know what you think. We love, and especially if you don't like us, we'd love to hear from you. You can go to our Facebook page. We have conversations over there. It's a lot of fun. But Dave, we do three things every show.
Yes, we do.
Would you like to tell them what they
are? Yes, I would.
Okay, good.
The first thing we do is we open, review, and enjoy a manly beverage. The second thing we do is highlight a man gear of some kind. This is something that every man should have and use, especially the Catholic man. And then the third thing we do is have the most manly discussion you've ever heard in your life.
Mm-hmm. Dave, I got to tell you something that happened today.
Okay.
We record on Sunday, so when they hear this, it's actually going to be on Sunday.
Right.
We're in Mass this morning, and Luke is sitting there, and we're standing at right at the gospel, and he has the hymnal right there.
Right.
And he drops it, you know, which is like happens to every, you know. If you're a new dad or something and you have little kids, like it always happens. You know, you always hear this thunk, you know, like.
Right.
And it always happens when everybody's quiet. So I'm looking at him at the corner of my eye. He drops it, but catches it before it hits the ground.
Nice.
He picks it up, sets it back down, doesn't miss a beat, and just says, "Nice catch, Luke." He whispers, "Nice catch,
yes.
Luke." And I like look over at him and I'm like, you know, I pound my chest like, you know, I didn't really, but, you know, I was thinking like, "You got this, bro."
Yeah.
Like, nice catch.
And he's thinking, like, "I got this."
Yeah.
Nice catch, Luke.
Nice catch, Luke. Like, he gave himself props.
Yeah, you really knocked it out.
Yeah, I loved it. So, also, today, like, I did another thing cool today.
What?
Dude, I busted out the fedora.
You did?
Yeah.
How'd it feel?
Felt great.
Awesome. Where'd you wear it?
To Mass.
Oh.
Yeah, I had my three-piece suit on for Mass, and so I was like, you know what? Today's the day for the solemnity of the Mother of God. I'm doing it.
Sweet.
So I busted it out and wore it to Mass.
Did you notify Patrick Coffin?
I did. I posted it on his Facebook page letting
good,
him know.
Good.
Like, hey, check it out.
Uh-huh.
I said, you know, I said something like, "May 2017 bring back the fedoras and the virtues that came with it."
Yeah.
So.
Cool, man.
I got to tell you, I liked it a lot.
Uh-huh.
You got it for me you and Juan got it for me for Christmas.
That's
and,
right.
I dug it.
Sweet, dude.
Yeah.
I'm glad to hear that.
Anyway, I just had to share that with you.
So before we get to the man beverage, I had to clear something up from last week. Every now and then, you just say something that's really dumb, and I did that last week. I was sitting here doing math,
and I allowed it. Like that, it's not very good. Like you said it, but I like you know I got to be honest with you. I didn't.
It was just like
I just let it go.
I don't know what's going on, but I said that the whiskey we were drinking was 46 proof, and I was like, well, I know you multiply times two, so that would make it 92% alcohol, and I was thinking like that is that right? And I wasn't sure. Anyway, no, that's I was doing it the wrong way, and it was just a bad moment.
Yeah. But you know what? We all make mistakes.
And it wasn't until the next day. Like, I was doing something totally just, like, normal, unrelated. And then all of a sudden, I just thought to myself, I totally did that backwards. That was a terribly stupid thing to do.
Dude, I do that all the time. Like, I'll be doing something random, you know, at work or driving in the car, not thinking about the show at all. And then something triggers and it's like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I just said, you know, I said that right. on last week's episode. Or why did I not say this? I had this planned this
right.
whole week
oh,
to say this, and I never said it.
But anyway, let's get to this week's man beverage.
Okay.
Which is not 92% alcohol.
No.
It
is.
Here, I'll open it.
It's not ethanol.
No, exactly. Yeah, it's Everclear. It's concentrated Everclear.
Yeah.
So this week we are drinking a Dead Armadillo beer, which is an Oklahoma. It's a Tulsa local.
Mm-hmm.
It's partly owned by Mason Beecroft, who works for the Catholic Diocese here in Tulsa.
A buddy of ours manly beard.
Yeah, dude, he's got a sweet beard. This is their Black Hop India Black Ale.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not an IPA, it's an India Black Ale. And it is good.
Yeah, it actually was my go-to this fall and into the winter for my beer of choice.
It kind of tastes a little stouty.
Well, let's cheers, and then we'll give our notes.
Okay, okay.
We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
Cheers to Jesus.
May you always drink in moderation and share in excess.
Thank you. And to the Holy Family. Mm. So, yeah, when I taste it, if you were to just give this to me, I might say, oh, this is a stout or a porter.
Because the appearance of it also look. I mean, it's
very
dark.
The foam kind of even looks stouty.
Yes.
Especially on mine. See how like mine settled a little bit more than yours. I just poured yours, but it's super super good. It's kind of got a like a milk creaminess to it.
Do you want me to read the notes
Please.
That they have?
Yeah.
The aroma consists of fresh citrus notes from Northwest hops and a heavy, dry bouquet of roasted grains. Now, I don't get the citrus notes at all, but...
I haven't picked up on the citrus, but...
It continues, brewed with an array of dark malts, which is why it's probably so dark. This this ale will feature the distinct flavors of coffee and bitter chocolate with subtle toasted sweetness.
Mm-hmm. Totally, those last three, coffee, bitter chocolate, and...
A little sweet.
And the little sweet, that's right on.
Mm-hmm. It says, large hop additions late in the boil and dry hopping after fermentation lighten and refresh the overall perception of the flavor of beer. It finishes with a dry palate and lingering warmth and bitterness.
Cool. So this is only Dead Armadillo. Their distribution is only in Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're coming through Oklahoma, we got a lot of listeners not in Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're coming through the state,
we have a few not even in the U.S.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah,
quite a few actually, not just a few.
So this is like one of the few things that can only get in Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm.
Typically, if it's awesome, like, oh, you have to go out of state. You have to go to another state other than Oklahoma to get it, because we have some weird liquor laws. Luckily, they're all changing.
Yeah, we've loosened our liquor laws.
Yeah, we're just waiting for them to come into effect,
right.
Which is going to be awesome.
Awesome, awesome.
But this beer is also awesome.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, this has been my go-to beer this fall going into winter.
Uh-huh.
It's... Not.
I did not even know that.
Yeah. How did you not know that?
I don't know, dude.
I don't know either. I mean, typically, I guess when we're together,
we drink whiskey a lot.
Yeah, we drink whiskey, not a lot of beer. So, it's kind of expensive, as typical local breweries are.
I mean, it's like
$13 for a four pack.
No, I think it was like $10.
Mm, I don't know where you got it.
I could be wrong.
I've been buying it.
Oh, really?
You know,
okay.
Yeah.
Well, you probably okay.
It's like $13.69
for the four
but they're tall boys.
Tall boys, yeah.
Yeah, but it's delicious, you know. And really, I can drink one you know, in an evening and be, you know, and be completely satisfied.
Yeah.
You know, I sip on it. You know, it's not one that you just pull out of the fridge. Like a lot of times I actually pull it out and set it down before opening it and kind of let it warm up a little bit.
Uh-huh.
But you can drink on it, sip on it, you know, from 7 o'clock till 10, you know, just kind of nursing it, you know, just sipping on it while you're playing with your boys or whatever, sure. You know, and it's really good.
That's just the way darker beers tend to be. You know, they don't, they're not naturally as carbonated as high. So you don't really notice them going flat as much. The downside to this whole beer movement, which I love, is the calories.
Yeah. I don't have to worry about that. I don't really, I don't look at calories.
In college, you know, you could drink 10, whatever crappy beers you were buying, and it probably has the same amount of calories as like one oatmeal stout.
Or a half.
Yeah. I mean, I don't even know. It doesn't say how many calories are on the can typically. I'm fine with that.
Yeah. I don't want to know.
I don't want to know.
But it is delicious. It is a delicious beer. And if you are in Oklahoma, I highly suggest supporting Dead Armadillo.
Yeah, especially if you're here in Tulsa, because, you know, just the owner has ties to the Tulsa Diocese.
And if you're a friend of the show, we're going to be interviewing Mason Beecroft on beer for the Friends of the Show upcoming within the next month or two. So become a friend of the show, and you'll be able to catch that interview that we're going to do with Mason Beecroft, who is part owner in Dead Armadillo.
We've got a lot of good interviews lined up.
Yeah, we do. Let's talk about it on the other side of the break. We'll kind of give them a rundown.
Okay. We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass. Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. I'm David Niles. Enjoying Dead Armadillo Black Hop, India Black Ale, and Catholic Man Show beer mug.
Yeah. These are awesome beer mugs, too.
Yeah, I think we've said beer stein, and I was thinking about that. And
they're not steins.
It's not a beer stein.
It's a mug.
It's a mug.
Yeah.
But you can put it in the freezer.
Yeah, you could.
Depending on what beer you want to drink. But anyway, Adam, I think it's time for the Catholic joke of the day, of the week.
That's funny. That's funny.
It is. I don't know why it's funny.
Because I wasn't ready for it.
No. You got anything?
No, I don't have anything right now.
What about last week? Do you have anything?
No, I didn't have anything last week.
What about the week before?
I kind of killed that.
Yeah, it kind of. I don't know if you killed it or
I just
let it die.
I just let it die. I just let that die.
Your last one I thought was pretty good.
I know.
I don't remember what it was, but I remember thinking it was good.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to let that go. Okay. I may bring it back. We'll see.
Okay.
We'll see.
Is there a funny time of year?
I don't know.
What do you think is the funniest season?
What's your favorite month?
September.
Because it's your birthday.
Yeah, it's my birthday.
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know that.
You don't know what the funniest season is?
No.
Okay.
Do you?
Maybe. I haven't decided if I know.
I would have told you if you would have asked me yesterday.
Yeah.
So.
Since then, I've moved on. I've moved on.
So let's.
Let's move on.
Let's talk about really quick who we're going to be interviewing.
Okay. Upcoming. We're going to be interviewing Mason Beecroft for our Friends of the Show. Mm-hmm. So if you want to become a friend of the show and hear the interview that we're going to be doing, as well as all the other interviews we've done, all the other special content that we've made just for the Friends of the Show, as well as be a part of the just day-to-day conversation on our private Facebook group, private Facebook page.
Yeah.
Then what you need to do is go to breadboxmedia.com, click on the Friends of the Show link, and search for The Catholic Man Show, and then sign up, donate $10 a month, and you will be part. You will be an official Friends of the Show member.
We send you out a Catholic Man Show Glen Cairn glass immediately, and then you get all the stuff. So some of the people that we're going to be interviewing like within the next couple weeks.
Okay, so Mason Beecroft, he is a brewer.
Mm-hmm.
He's a grower of beards.
Mm-hmm.
He works for the diocese. He helps produce the magazine. We have a yep. Diocesan Magazine, which is very cool. That's one of the things that I think our diocese has that
a lot of
dioceses don't.
Mm-hmm.
And our
it's really good.
Yeah, it's called the EOC, the Eastern Oklahoma Catholic, and it's always really good.
Mm-hmm.
We're also going to be talking to him about brewing beer.
Yeah, and we're also going to be
as well as other things, but that's
we're
going
to be talking
about
Darren DeLosier, who is the producer of Catholic Answers Live.
Yep.
We're going to be interviewing him. We're also have kind of hoping to schedule with Jeff Cavins.
Yep.
Upcoming, and a couple other guys that we have kind of penciled in as well.
We're working on getting another guy from Catholic Answers as well.
Yeah. So anyway, we have it's a lot of fun. We have a lot of fun. We had a great review from a guy, Brian, who's a friend of the show, who gave us a great review of being a friend of the show.
My wife really likes his last name.
Yeah, it's a cool name.
Yeah, she thinks it's fun.
Mm-hmm. It's fun to say.
Let's be honest, it's fun.
So this is the second part of the show that we should be getting to, which is the man gear of the week.
Right.
And so here's what we're going to do. Here's the man gear of the week. It's a book, and it's called Cooking with Beer in Colorado. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to pick out this is a book that I – the gear that I picked for this week, and I did for a couple reasons. One
– Tell me.
There's a lot of men out there that like to cook. I like to smoke meat and, you know, grill, but every once in a while I'll get in there and cook.
I like those guys who like to cook.
Yeah, I like to be friends with them.
Yeah, exactly.
I like to be friends
with
them.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. But also, this book is awesome because it not only pairs great food with great chefs.
And I love great food.
Yeah, and I'm a big fan. But it pairs it with really good craft beer.
No
which,
way.
Which we love, which
I
we're drinking
also love
right now.
Really great craft beer.
Right. So...
Man, I want this book.
Yeah, so it's actually a really well-done book. It'd be a nice coffee table book as well.
Yeah. No, that's what struck me about it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, obviously there's recipes and beer pairings in here, but just the pictures and the
they draw you in.
The production value of this mm-hmm. book is really good,
mm-hmm.
which is important. Because, you know, here on the Catholic Man Show, we're all about quality. You know, I think that's one of the things I like about the beer scene that's going on is that, you know, finally we're getting back to doing things because they are good,
right.
You know, and not just doing them because, you know, people drink this.
Speaking of good, let me just read you this headline.
Okay, so this is an example of a pairing from the book.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
The Mainline Brown Ale, Bacon Burger, and Bacon Jam.
See, I didn't even know bacon jam was a thing.
That's
like one of those things where, like, every now and then you realize something exists,
mm-hmm.
and you're just, like, super mad because, you know, why didn't I know that this was a thing?
Yeah.
Exactly. Bacon jam. I mean, I could have been using bacon jam this whole time.
I know. Don't even get me started on. Yeah. Another thing. Jalapeno sweet potato cake.
That sounds
for all
awesome.
Of our vegetarian friends out there, I mean, it has a little bit of everything
or
in there.
Or just regular, I mean, like, yeah, vegetarian, non-vegetarian, I mean, just whatever.
There's a lot of desserts in here, too. Here's one. Beer glazed sugar cookies. Why did I not know that you could put beer glaze on a cookie?
I didn't know you could glaze beer.
I didn't either, but you can.
You did. Apparently, you can.
You definitely can. I see a picture of it right there.
What do you
and
know?
And it looks delicious.
That is a thick sugar cookie.
Yeah, it is. But, so, another thing that I really like about this book is it promotes, you know, one thing I really like about the beer scene and the whiskey scene,
uh-huh.
That as I'm continually getting more into these scenes,
yeah.
is that it all cultures community.
Uh-huh.
It brings people together.
Yeah.
You know, it's not
cultivates
just,
community?
Yeah, cultivates community.
Mm-hmm.
And with this book, it can do the same. Like, there's something about, you know, just sitting down, like, the holidays are special with your families for a lot of different reasons, but one of the reasons is also because you get the opportunity to sit down with your family, have dinner, and have a real conversation with everybody and learn about, hey, what's been going on in your life? What's been going on in your life? You know, here's what's been going on in my life.
Yeah.
You know, you get to have real conversations with people.
Mm-hmm.
And as, you know, as a dad or as a husband, you know, we're called to lead our families, and I think it's very important to establish family traditions that involve things around the dinner table.
Yeah. So, you know, what just struck me is that, you know, we're part of these men groups where we get together, smoke a pipe or a cigar and drink either beer or whiskey. You could start a man group mm-hmm. that came together and did a pairing, mm-hmm. a food and beverage pairing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that was kind of the... 'cause there's just something, you know, you want that other element. So if you've decided 2017, you're going to start a group.
Right, which on our Facebook page
which
we have...
Which we've talked about, yeah. This is an idea. You wouldn't have to do it every time, but this could be one of the things that maybe you do with your group is have a drink and food pairing. Mm-hmm. And so a book, either this book or a book like it would be awesome to help facilitate that just because... Yep. If I knew someone was doing that and I was invited, I'd be there.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt.
You're making bacon jam?
Yeah. You tell me you're making bacon jam and I'm going to be there.
Just try to keep me away.
Right. So, I love the idea of not only the book with the beer, but also, like, things that help bring people together around the dinner table.
Yeah.
Some of my fondest memories.
I love the dinner table.
Yeah.
I'll just tell you.
Some of my fondest memories growing up. Have been at, you know, and that moment, tell me about this moment. Maybe, I don't know with your family, but we have such a big family. You have a kid's table and an adult table.
I still sit at the kid's table.
Okay. The moment, there was a moment where I graduated to the adult table. Oh. And I was like, how did I do this? You know, because as a little kid, all you wanted to do was, you know, be a part of the adult table. You know, what are they talking about in there? You know, and you're like, I want to be a part of the adult table.
My family was slightly different. Mm. None of the kids wanted to sit at the adult table. We were like, those adults over there with their table.
We always wanted to be, you know, because we were all like pretty close in age, cousin wise, and uh-huh. so it was like, I'm gonna get there first. No, I'm gonna get there first. You know, I'm gonna be the first adult. You know, and so it's always like a race.
Our attitude is different. It was like, fine, go sit at the adult table. There's nothing going on over there. Okay, just so you know.
Yeah, well, that's kind of what we realized after we got graduated, and we didn't. Like, no one told us. You know, like you guys. Just told us, like, we're now sitting in here, and now we don't have a choice, and we can't even go back.
I feel like I've played my cards really well. Now I send my, like, 1.5-year-old over to the adult table for, like, here, grandma's going to help you eat.
Yeah.
And I go sit at the kids' table, and it's like, yes.
Yes, a
man,
a meal.
Did I play that perfect or what? So.
Well done, sir.
Thank you.
Well done.
I'm proud of it. It's an achievement.
Mm-hmm. So the author. So
once again, what's this book called?
It's called Cooking with Beer in Colorado. It's 75 collaborative recipes with Fort Collins' best chefs and brewers.
I'm sure it's available on Amazon. Everything is
absolutely.
On Amazon.
And this one that we're going to give away, which you'll have to get to our Facebook page and Instagram account to see how you're going to win it.
Do we know how we're going to give it away?
Not yet.
We have not decided.
That's why you have to check our social media pages.
Yeah.
But this one is signed by the author.
Word. It says cheers.
Yeah, it says cheers, and then Christina Marie, so who's the author of the book.
Uh-huh.
So she did a great job. It's actually, like I said, each segment is really nice because it has a breakdown of the actual brewery and the chef, like the background of the chef before it gets into the recipes.
So she brought chefs and brewers together mm-hmm. and said, you guys
need to start pairing these and these together.
I like it.
It's a great idea. So anyway, again, Cooking with Beer in Colorado. We're going to give this one away. Check our Instagram and Facebook account and go buy it on Amazon.
Bacon jam is a thing.
Yeah.
It exists.
Guys, seriously, bacon jam is a thing.
We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass. We'll be right back.
Send me some bacon jam. Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. I use a little grit.
I was going to say, you sounded manly right there.
Very gritty.
Welcome back.
Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. I'm Adam Minahan, sitting here with David Niles. We're drinking a little bit of Dead Armadillo Black Hop India Black Ale. Just got done talking about this awesome book, Cooking with Beer in Colorado, by Christina Marie.
But you're allowed to use it not in Colorado.
Absolutely. Yeah. It just has a lot of color. It has Fort Collins beers,
breweries. A lot of good beer stuff in Colorado.
Some of them are called like Fort Collins is, I think, actually called the Napa Valley of craft breweries.
Really?
At least I think that's what I read in
here. I would believe it. I'd believe
so,
it.
So
Father Brian Ketterer, he went to seminary in Colorado and was a big fan of a lot of the stuff, of the beers.
Yeah. That was very descriptive as well.
A lot of the beers.
A lot of the stuff.
The beers.
Yeah. So warning, if you're still tuning in, we're about to crank the manliness to 11.
Yeah, you're about to be challenged, my friends.
So, and this is a topic that's difficult for me.
Yeah, I was about to say that. Like, this is something that challenges me.
Yeah, and
very much.
That's kind of the beauty of the show that I have when we do the show is it challenges me. Like,
yeah.
You know, we talk about it or I read it all the time, and then it's like, well, I'm saying it. I also have to do it.
Right. Yeah. Trust me, I know that this is hard. That's why we're talking about it.
Yeah, because it's manly.
Okay, so what is it?
So the topic is simplicity, the virtue of simplicity.
I think it's not very commonly discussed as a virtue.
No, but Saint Thomas does.
Yeah, he. So it is.
So it is.
Therefore,
end of discussion.
Yeah, beats, bears, Battlestar Galactica.
Messed it up. It's bears, beats, Battlestar Galactica.
Dang it.
Office reference. And so, like I said, I think that this is a topic that is tough to talk about, especially for people living in America, where, you know, just...
First world problems, man.
Yeah, exactly. And we all struggle with, especially with technology, how quickly it's advancing with, I want the newest phone, or, I want the newest laptop, or whatever. Go out and get the newest movie every time. You know, it's just hard not to fall into consumer... products.
Yeah.
So, I think what we'll do, I think it's a perfect time to talk about it because, you know, today is Sunday, but is the feast of, Mary, Mother of God.
Right.
So this kind of reflects the Holy Family a lot because they were very simplistic.
Yep.
By nature.
Yeah. Mary was not a one for
flash.
No.
That is not a word that you would describe her as.
She was
flashy.
A big stuff person.
Right.
As far as I can tell.
So, there's a great St. Francis de Sales quote that I think would kind of start us off on the platform that we need to go to. I'll let you read it.
Okay. St. Francis de Sales said, "Simplicity is nothing but an act of charity, pure and simple, which has but one sole end, that of gaining the love of God. Our soul is then truly simple when we have no aim at all but this in all we do." So simplicity just means in everything that we do to please God.
Mm-hmm.
And so if that's your motivation behind everything you do, then you are right in the heart of simplicity.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Mm-hmm.
You know, St. Thomas says when he talks about this, you know, everything, we're achieving an end. And the means must be proportionate to the end, meaning that the means should not extend past the end or fall short of it.
Yeah, and I think that's really the best measure for simplicity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in general, I think simplicity, you know, the easiest way to think about it is, you know, do you have more stuff than you need? Are you over, you know, do you have more toys? You know, we could call them toys. Do you have more things?
Why is storage units such a big business?
That's a good question. Yeah. Like, really?
Mm-hmm.
We have so much crap. We have to, like, pay rent somewhere off-site just to keep our crap.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's good reasons to have a storage unit, but...
Right, I mean...
I'm not saying, like, you have a storage unit, you're like, you're not living simply, but...
Right, but there's a reason why it's such a big business.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just because people have all this crap. It's like, get rid of it.
Mm-hmm.
Donate it or something. You don't need it. Obviously, you're not even keeping it where you can use it. So get rid of it. And so that's, I think, the crux of the issue is, you know, when you're like, okay, maybe I'm going to get something new. Why are you going to get it? What is the function of this thing? And is it going to serve? Are you going to use it to serve its function, or are you getting it just to have it?
Yeah, why?
Because I know I've done that. You know, like, we used to, back when we were right out of college, you and I used to joke about, like, let's go do some impulse buying.
Right. Yeah, we used to do that all the time.
Let's go to Best Buy. And
in fact, one day we woke up, had breakfast, and said, Let's go buy a TV.
I still have that TV. It's in my living room.
Yeah.
It's a sweet TV. But you know what I mean? Like, impulse buy, you don't need to impulse buy something, you know?
No,
you're not buying it because you need it. You're buying it just because you want it.
Mm-hmm.
And that is that's contrary to simplicity.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I think it's important to say what we're not saying.
Right, yeah, I think that's true. Because I think before we continue diving into the topic, it's important to say that either side of the extreme of this conversation is also sinful, or at least immoderate.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a sin against modesty, the virtue
right.
of moderation.
Uh-huh.
Because you can go...
Or justice, possibly.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely, or justice.
It seems like simplicity has a lot in common with justice.
And charity.
Right, which is what St. Francis de La Sales said.
Right. Because you can be on one side of the spectrum where it's, you know, you have so much stuff, and you always get the newest things, and your kids have all the newest stuff, and you have all the new designer clothes, and the newest cars, and everything else.
Yeah.
Like, and there's nothing wrong with material things. You know, there's nothing wrong with those. But if you have excess, you can't be attached to them. You can't have so much to where you're so attached to all of this.
Mm-hmm.
Or you go on the other side of the spectrum where you are a dad with a family of five and you're trying to live as Trappist monks.
Right.
You know, that is not...
That's not prudent.
Right, it's not prudent. Right, or charitable towards your family.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sure your wife and kids don't appreciate that.
See, that's why I think justice comes into play. Like, you have a duty to your children to provide for them.
Mm-hmm.
And that includes certain material possessions. And
yeah.
I think that includes material possessions to the point where your children, as young children, aren't worried about material possessions. You know,
right.
it is beyond a child's state in life to have to worry about, do we, you know, like, can we afford these things? The things that a child needs
right.
to facilitate the needs of childhood. You know what I mean? Whatever those needs are,
mm-hmm.
and whatever stage they are in as a child,
mm-hmm.
a kid should not be worried about material possessions. Or, you know, can we have, you know, do we have enough
Without
to support things, you know? You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
So that's where I think justice comes into play.
I think you're right. And I think that, you know, not living simply, it's
yeah.
funny that I struggled with simply,
well.
but not living simply can lead into other sins.
Totally.
You know, one being a lack of friendship or family. You know, there's guys out there, I know there's men out there, and it's easy to fall into when you start tasting a little bit of success.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that as men, we drive, you know, we thrive on competition. We drive on success, on being successful. You know, we want to be successful,
right.
which is good. Being successful is a good thing. But,
absolutely.
You can go overboard with it to the point where you're a workaholic, and to the point where you're not paying attention to your friends or your family, or you're striving. Like, if you're already making, you know, X amount of money, is X plus $10,000 really going to make a difference for you? You know, like, you
yeah.
know, to the point you have to weigh out, is it really going to be good enough to sacrifice your time with your family and friends just to continue working?
Yeah, what's that
threshold?
$10,000 going to cost you as far as hours away from your family?
Right.
And is it a necessary sacrifice? Now, you said something about, you know, success isn't a bad thing. Mm-hmm. I would go further than that. I would say success is required of us.
Yeah, we're called.
It's not just like, oh, it's not bad if you do it. No. You have an obligation to be successful at the things that you do. That's why we like things of quality.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, it's an example of someone who has been successful.
Right.
You know, you don't have to be the absolute, you don't have to be number one, but you have to be, you should be successful. And when I say that, I mean, you should strive for success. You
mm-hmm.
should attempt to give it your all
mm-hmm.
and be successful, whatever it is, the thing that you're doing, especially your occupation.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean that you sacrifice time with your family.
Right.
You know, because once again, there's justice coming to a play.
Or to the point where you've worked so hard or you've worked so long that once you finally get home, all you're still thinking about is work, you know,
right.
and the stresses of work, or the, oh, I still have to send off mm-hmm. this email, or, oh, I have to make this phone call immediately in the morning. You don't leave work at work and you bring it into your home.
Right. Because that's not simplicity.
Right.
You know, like Francis de La Sales said, St. Francis, everything that we do should be done with the aim to please in pleasing God.
Right. Another one real quick, because we're about to come up to a break here in just a few minutes, Dave, is obviously theft and robbery is an easy one.
So that's one of the examples of lack of simplicity
leading to another sin,
right.
is theft and robbery, to the point where you want material goods so much to the point where you're stealing it.
Yeah, that's kind of the extreme, I think, of...
Yeah, I definitely think so.
Of a lack of simplicity.
You see it all the time on the news, people trying to steal.
Yeah.
That's not something that... And why is that? It's because they're attached to material goods.
I think most people don't... It's not something that most people do, but it is clearly common.
Mm-hmm. Another one is meanness or hardness of heart. And I think that's really important as a boss, if you're a boss, you know, to the point of you don't care what your employees are doing or how it affects your employees. You just want to hit that sales goal.
Right.
You know, to the point of sinful. Like, I don't care what you're doing. Just get it done.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Lack of charity.
When we get back, let's continue talking about it. And then we'll talk about how to gain simplicity and the benefits of it.
We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
Cheers to Jesus.
Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. I'm David Niles. Sitting here with Adam Minahan, my friend and co-host. We're talking about simplicity. And I simply urge you, if you are in Oklahoma and you're looking for a good beer to drink, go pick up some Dead Armadillo Black Hop India Black Ale. It won't let you down.
No.
Because it's fantastic.
It's a delicious beer.
Yeah. It's simply delicious.
Simply.
So, guys... Christmas just happened.
Mm-hmm.
Dads, I'm talking to you right now. Mm-hmm. Especially if you have little children, toddlers, 5-year-old, you know, somewhere in this age. You know what I'm talking about. How many toys do they have? Is it just shy of a billion? If it is, maybe think about lightening the load.
Mm-hmm.
Because let me tell you something. Those toys you think are making them happy are a burden for those children. When you give kids too many toys, it almost is, it's like a source of anxiety, because they've got all these toys and they think they've got to keep track of them all and they've got to possess them all. That's just, it's the natural reaction that happens with kids. It happens with adults too.
Mm-hmm.
When you have too many things, you spend all of your time just keeping track of all of your things,
mm-hmm.
right? Which is why you need a storage unit to keep them safe.
Mm-hmm.
Get rid of some of them. I'll leave it up to you. Do you want to go with your kids and say, hey, I want you to pick out this many toys? I mean, depending on how old they are. My daughter is 1.5. She can't make that choice yet. I mean,
well,
she just cannot. She couldn't do that. So depending on the age of your kids,
mm-hmm.
either walk through them and maybe you say, let's pick out 5 toys. And then really you're getting rid of 20, but you made them pick out 5. Let me tell you something. A 4-year-old, if you get rid of toys, they're going to have no idea that those toys are gone.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, they're not going to suffer. In fact, they will be happier because they don't have all of this junk in the way.
Mm-hmm.
Just think about that.
Dave, isn't it interesting that there seems to be this growing trend of people wanting to live simply? There's this growing trend of homesteading, of, you know, got people wanting to move out.
And getting away from the city, kind of.
Yeah, getting away from the city, you know. Owning a little bit of land, living off the land more, having less things but more land.
Yeah, and simplicity is certainly part of that. I think there's, you know, probably more involved. You know, it's just like, let's get away from the culture has become toxic.
Right. Well, I mean, you and I have even talked about let's go out and buy in land.
Oh yeah,
and,
we've talked about it. I mean, we've got
we kind of have a plan already.
I'm totally for it.
Yeah, we're planning on, you know, finding some land, moving kind of a little bit outside the city area.
I don't want to move too far away. I mean, because I have a job that I need to maintain.
Right,
but
right.
Anyway.
But so I think that it's, you know, I think like you were talking about with kids' toys, I think it is important to realize, you know, what kind of message are you sending to them?
Yeah.
I fight this urge all the time while I'm at the store. I run to the store real quick and, you know, I want to get my son a new tractor, you know, another tractor. My boys love tractors, trains, cars, anything, you know, that rolls, they want it.
Right.
You know, but they have, you know, 10 cars downstairs.
Uh-huh.
Do they really need another one? What message are you sending whenever you buy them another toy that they're now having to realize that, I got another one. I got another one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's really easy to buy the next toy or sit them in front of the TV and let them watch TV or their show or whatever. But it takes time and effort to instill virtue into your kids. And I think that's the important, like, you know, that it is our job as parents to prepare them for the next life, and how we do it forms them.
And let me tell you something, man. You are the guardians of your children's well-being. And that is not just their physical well-being. I mean, that's obvious.
Mm-hmm.
You're the guardian of their spiritual well-being, their virtuous well-being, if I can use that as a term. And so you may have to make hard choices sometimes about, you know, things that your kids... what they can do, things that they can have, and the kids are not going to like it.
Right, but you're not called to be their friend. You're their parent.
You're their father.
Right, and you know, I think parents and fathers have like these natural desires to satisfy the needs of their children. You know, as you know, we're kind of instilled with like we want to satisfy their needs. We love to give them things because why? Because you love to see them happy. You love to see them you know, excited.
Parents love giving gifts to their kids,
but you have to do it subjugated to virtue.
Right.
You know, that has to be, there has to be a purpose.
There needs to be moderation.
Right.
Because we're not saying kids don't need toys. Kids need toys.
Right.
I mean, they need toys.
Mm-hmm.
But they only need as many as they need.
Right.
And beyond that, they don't need any more. You know what I mean? And I'm not going to sit here and say, it's 10. I'm not putting a number on it.
No.
Because you're the dad.
Right.
But I think you know when your kids have more toys than they need.
And I think it's a really cool thing to also, like you said, make sure that they're learning to give away to help others. You know, it like we did that with Luke this year before Christmas. He had to pick out toys that he liked.
How did he take that?
It was tough. But you know what? He did it.
Yeah?
You know, it was, and he, you know, he cried on a couple of toys, you know, whenever we gave him away. But you know what?
But you spanked him and, you know.
No, but you know what?
I'm just kidding.
He did learn.
Right.
He did learn, like, he's giving these up.
And let's take it a little harder now, because it's not just about your kids. It's about you.
Yeah. You know what? Today, I went through my closet so here's what I did. I started weeding out all these shirts that I hadn't worn maybe once every 6 months or once a year.
Oh, my gosh, dude. I have a whole drawer of T-shirts I haven't worn in a year.
So then, I did that, and I felt good about it. You know, I was like, okay, good. I'm doing it. You know, I did good. And then I realized, you know what? I have like 7 Ralph Lauren polo T-shirts. I don't need 7 of those.
Right.
You know, I had kept those for me because they were Ralph Lauren. I mean, they were nice shirts. And I was like, you know.
Can't give these away.
Right. But I had already given away, you know, already cleaned out my closet, and I had finished and I had moved on. And then it hit me. No, I'm missing the point.
Right.
I don't need 7 of these polo shirts.
Uh-huh.
Two is good.
Right.
2 is plenty.
Or even 3.
Or 3. Yeah.
Keep 3.
To me,
you don't need 7.
Right. I don't need 7.
And as your friend, I agree with you. You do not need 7.
And so I gave 5 of them 5 of them away.
There
but that was the reason, like,
and that's not easy to do.
No, but I realized, like, I'm talking about simplicity today, and here I am. I gave stuff away and I felt good about it, and then I realized, oh, I still have 7 polo shirts.
But it goes beyond the things that you have. I mean, think about this. How much time do you spend on Facebook?
Oh, way too much.
I mean, and I know, Adam, for you personally, a lot of that is not personal time. That's like work, you know, that you're doing to promote the show and, you know, for the radio station. And so that's not what I'm really talking about, because you have a need.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's a reason why you're doing it.
Mm-hmm.
But how much time do you guys spend on Facebook for no apparent reason?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like,
it goes back to, like,
let's say you're in
about
an elevator and you have nothing, you're not preoccupied at that for those 4 seconds. So you look at Facebook. Don't do that. You don't need to look at Facebook. Like, you should use social media for a reason, not because you don't know what to do.
Right.
You know, it's not a crutch.
Right. That's the thing that's come up.
And so it goes beyond everything. So guys, just think about your life. Think about the things that you do, the things that you have, the activities you engage in day to day.
And what's the reason for doing it?
The bottom line is, are these things bringing you closer to heaven or not?
Mm-hmm.
If it is not helping you get to heaven, It is a waste of your time.
Yep. So let's talk really quick because we're almost done. Here's a couple things that I want to say on how to gain simplicity.
Okay.
If you don't need it, don't buy it. Simple enough.
Yeah.
Reduce your possessions to only what you really need. Another one, and here's the main one. You want to gain simplicity? Here it is. You ready?
Tell me.
Increase your prayer life.
Mm, yeah.
You know what? Because if you're lifting your heart and mind to God, material things just become less important. That's the thing. Like, you know, when you lift your heart to God and your mind to God, you realize this stuff doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, near as much as what I used to think it did.
Right.
The things
of this earth will pass away.
Right. Exactly. And some of the benefits, you know, simplicity of life aids pastoral charity, like we've been talking about with St. Francis. If our lives are choked by possessions, for men, you know, that's eating, drinking.
Men struggle with appetite, mm-hmm. which comes back to social media. Like, mm-hmm. You have an appetite for social media.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Curb your appetite.
Even expensive travel or vacations.
Right.
We'll soon deliver. We realize that the little time and energy that we pour out, or a lot of energy that we pour out on ourselves and not towards others.
Right.
What's another one, Dave?
Simplicity of life undergirds the mission.
Mm-hmm.
So when we live simply, we're not just attached to our own plans or ambitions, but it also allows for the pastoral mobility, because change is not feared. So basically, you're not afraid to lose the thing. You're not afraid of loss.
Right.
So you totally abandon yourself to serving the Lord because, you know, the things that you have, you're not attached to. I'll give you a quick example.
Okay.
I bought a pair of Ray-Ban sunglasses. The first time I did that, I was sick because I spent $100 for a pair of frickin' sunglasses.
Mm-hmm.
But I made a pledge to myself. If the first person that ever said to me, I like those sunglasses, I'd give them away. Yes, that was the other.
I really like those sunglasses.
Those were my That was my condition.
I really like.
Well, I lost them.
Oh, dang it! I was too late.
I didn't even get to give them away. I just lost them. But that was the deal I made with myself. If someone says anything, I'm giving these away.
The last one, really quick, is it's a witness to the world. We're all the world is just full of consumption and just things. You know, when somebody is living simply. You look at them and say, they're living different.
Yeah.
You're a witness. That's a witness.
Dude, and if you free yourself.
Dude, it feels good.
You will be happy.
Yeah. Because material things aren't going to make you happy. Only God.
Last week, we got a lot of questions about attaining a state of detachment from sin.
Mm-hmm.
Living in simplicity will help you attain that state of detachment from sin.
Absolutely.
To gain a plenary indulgence.
Dead Armadillo. Brewery, what we were drinking today. We were talking about the book Cooking with Beer in Colorado. Just got done talking about living simply.
We're going to give the book away, so check out our Facebook page.
We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.